to page 334. We're middle of we did on Friday a few psukim. We're discussing Dalet, Hey, Vav, and Zion. Four psukim describing some very severe sins. Maybe we'll just read the psukim very quickly. The psukim, Pasuk Dalet said, "Hashoychem al mita shein." These are a description of averos. People in the malchus of Yehuda and Yisrael has to lie down on beds of ivory. Okay, it's very luxurious, carefree life. Usiruchim al arsoisam. We had already a few perushim as to what this means. Either it means that they spread out. They spread out their bodies. They're lazy. The subject of the word siruach means is the person. The person lies when he goes to sleep. He sleeps in a lazy way upon their beds, or it meant that they spread out sheets, linens, quilts, expensive materials upon their beds, or it means usruchim. Rashi told us for interpretation. It means that they soil. They make it soruach. They make their beds disgusting by doing averos. Va'oichlim, and they eat korim, fattened animals, mitzoin, from the category of the tzoin. Va'agolim, and agolim is from the category of the oxen. And egel is a young ox. Mitoich barbeik, we learn, means the place where they're force-fed or they're fattened. The barbeik is the pen. Specifically refers to a type of pen where they are given, they are fattened for the slaughter. Okay, Pasuk says aportim al pi hanaval. So we learn from the mitzvahs, which means they sing singular songs, songs that are unique, exquisite songs, one of a kind. Al pi hanaval, while they are playing this musical instrument, which we assume to be from the string instrument, some type of a harp, ki David. They believe that they are better than David HaMelech. They are equal, they are better than David HaMelech. Lohem klei shir. They're foolish to think of themselves as composers, musicians, people that are spiritual like David HaMelech, when indeed they don't even come, they don't have no clue as to the holiness of David HaMelech. I heard this week, I went to a shlosh talk about David HaMelech. I heard something really, really nice, really about talking about, just reminds of David HaMelech, about who was David HaMelech. So everyone is not a person to stand on the story in the Gemara that tells about the death of David HaMelech. David HaMelech, he was told that he asked Hashem, when will I die? Tell me the moment of my death. Obviously, there's something to be gained. It's hard for us to understand why, with the value of knowing the day you're going to die, the moment you're going to die. So Hashem said, it's a secret before me, it's a gezeirah before me that I do not reveal to a person the moment when he will die. So then David said, at least tell me this, I don't remember all the details, tell me the day of the week. So Hashem said, all right, I'll tell you, Shabbos. You are going to die on Shabbos. So David thought he could outsmart the Baal HaMavis, and he decided, we know that if a person is learning Torah, the Baal HaMavis has no shalita on a person when he is learning Torah. So David immersed himself deeply in the study of Torah on the entire Shabbos. And it worked for a period of time. The Baal HaMavis was frustrated. He had to accomplish his goal to take the Neshama of David. So the Baal HaMavis, he stood outside David's house and he shook a tree. He created a commotion. And when he shook the tree, David was distracted. And he turned and he went outside to see what is going on. And as he went outside, the floorboard that was supporting David cracked, David fell down, and David died. Now the question is, didn't David realize that by going outside to see what's taking place in the street, it's a sakana? So obviously David believed, maybe it's a chazal, that just because he's going outside to see what's happening, that's not going to distract him from learning, because he will think, he will continue to engage in learning Torah, as he goes outside, he turns around and he goes outside to see what is this commotion, what is happening over here. So David, he felt that it doesn't matter. He can go outside and still think in learning. But didn't David HaMelech realize it's dangerous? He's putting himself in a very great danger. Because if you sit in the Beis Medrash, and you don't go outside, you're fully immersed in learning. But if you go outside, okay, it's true, you can think in learning, but the chances of you getting distracted or something happening are so much greater, where for a moment you're going to slip, you're not going to be thinking learning, and you're going to put yourself in sakana. So David obviously wasn't concerned. Why not? He's playing with fire. He's playing with fire. Pikuach nefesh. What is he going outside? So I went to a hesped with Tzoy Shabbos, they were a hesped Ashleishim, and they said the pshat in the Gemara is David knew it was a sakana, but that's who David was. Why did he go outside? Just he was curious. I want to see what's going on. I want to go see the fire truck go by. The whole essence of David was to do chesed. If he's sitting in his house, in the Beis Medrash, and he hears there's a commotion outside, what does that mean? Someone needs help. But if I go outside, I might get distracted. I might stop learning for one moment, and then I will be in a matzav of sakana. David said, it's worth the risk. This is who I am. David, his entire life was there to serve. I'm here to serve my fellow man. A person needs my help. I'm going to go help him, even if it's a danger for me. And that's exactly what the Baal Chem Tov took advantage of, his vulnerability. That he was such a good person, he would, here's a commotion, someone needs my help, I have to go. And he went. He put himself in sakana, and here the Baal Chem Tov put a board underneath on the floor that was weak. It cracked, and in that split second, he was fully distracted, and he died. He learned from that, what is a person? A person who gives, his whole essence is to serve. Even when it's a sakana for him, he will nevertheless go forward and help other people. And it's very interesting, when the pasuk over here says, there are people who fool themselves into thinking they're just like David. They think, oh, I'm also that category, of that type of category. I'm a very big tzaddik, I do chesed, I'm just as great as the giants. And they're tipshim. You're nothing compared to the level of sincerity and altruism of the great. So this pasuk is a very powerful reminder, a wake-up call. Here we're criticizing these individuals, ha-paritim, al-pi-adava, they play beautiful musical instruments, and they play solo, they play instruments, songs that are unique, and they fool themselves into thinking they're just as great as the giants. David, like David, chashvu lochem kleshia. Okay, and then next pasuk down, pasuk vav was hashesim b'mishrei yayin. We learned that the people who drink mishrei from basins of yayin, and we learned this refers to metal utensils. Vereishes shemonim yimshachu, they anoint themselves with the best oils. Today is Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Shvat corresponds to Osher. Okay, in the Baal Shem Tov, there's a lot of kabbalistic things which I'm not familiar with, but each one of the chodashim corresponds to one of the shiftei koh. There are 12 months, and there are 12 Shvatim. This year we have 13 months, so then we have to create 13 Shvatim. Yosef is divided into Ephraim and Menashe, so we have a way to slip out of that problem. And each month, for whatever reason, is related to a different one of the Shvatim, and the Chazal tell us the month of Shvat corresponds to Osher. And Osher, be Osher, Shemein Alachmai. Toivel b'shemen ragloi. Osher is all about oil. And here, look at that. Shkacha pratis. Vereishis, here it's not a good thing, though. Here it's a musr. Vereishis shemonim yimshachu. Here we're criticizing these Klal Yisrael. They anoint themselves in the best oils. V'loi nechlu al shever Yosef. They do not feel the pain of the breaking of their brother Yosef. This refers to, we learned on Mitzvahs last week, refers either to the entire Klal Yisrael or it refers to Yosef is a code word for the entire Klal Yisrael because Yosef was the mashbir, the sustainer, or Yosef refers to Ephraim. Ephraim is a reference to Yeravam ben Nevat, who is the leader of the Aseres HaShvatim, the leader of the Malchus of Yisrael, and being that he came from Shevet Ephraim, the entire Klal Yisrael is called after The Aseres HaShvat were called after Ephraim, whose father is Yosef. And here the pasuk, according to the Mitzudos, is teaching us is that we criticize the Malchus of Yehuda. They did not feel the pain when their brothers, Yisrael, the ten Shvatim, went into exile. And not only did they not feel their pain, they in fact rejoiced. They said to them, good, you're getting what you deserved, and now we will have the opportunity to take your property for ourselves. A terrible, terrible sin. And then Pasuk Zayin said, therefore, because of these sins, you're going to go into exile, you're going to be the first of the nations. All of the nations ultimately were relocated by Sancheriv, but the ones that were relocated first were Klal Yisrael. And this was a very great shame to Klal Yisrael. Why should they be the first? In those days, there was a lot of dignity. Today, we suffer from this very, very much, that we don't know what dignity is. We really, really don't know what it is, what it means to be dignified. Okay, so... We don't know what dignity is, but in ancient times, they knew what dignity is. And if Klal Yisrael was the first nation to be relocated to another part of the world by a supreme power, Sancheriv, it was disgraceful. And this disgrace hurt. And that's what it says over here. We saw Mirzach Siruchim, and when they go into exile, then the parties. We learned last week, it's a very hard word to translate. The word Mirzach means parties. In the Mitzudos, we learned Ken Yikru HaMishtaois, the parties. With Sifrei, he quotes different psukim which support this in the Mitzudos Siyoin, and when they go into exile, then they'll shape up. Then all of their elaborate parties will come to an end. The
Sometimes
Siruch,
I
yeah?
think of Isaiah 10 refer to the Suda for an Avel.
That's what it's called, yeah?
The Sudas Havra.
That comes from the word of healing. Bara means creation or healing. The Sudas Havra, after they bury the dead. Yeah, okay.
Look at the, it's right there on the page. Rabbi Eliezer, Mibozhen Si,
whatever his name is. Mibozhen Si.
Yeah, that's what he said.
The Sar Mizrach Asurim Inyan Mishkafu, Minyan Siduchim Al Arsaisam, the Chenu Al Tavi Beis Marzeach, Beis Shechiv Merah, Hashoyche Venotu Lomus.
No, it's the other one, it's the Beir Hamilos, Mizrach, Hushal Min Hamishka Shahari Rikil Maso Zachar Kvor, Hamesh Lamach and Esau Oben.
Where are you reading from? Which Mepharish?
336.
Oh, the Malbum. The Malbum's page. We didn't do the Malbum. We didn't do the Malbum. But he learns in the Beir HaMilos, Hushal, it's borrowed min ha-mishtef ma-party. She-regilim la-sos achari kvar ha-meis le-nachem es-ha-avel k'may al-tovay beis mar-zech yirmiyo el-mishtef sh-yoysim le-ha-siruchim v'ha-niv oshim. People that are lying out on the ground, they're weak. Al-asher al-ar-soysam sh-gam b-meis yesh hav-oshas Havoshas Hameis. Havosh means the filth, the stench. The stench. So I think maybe what it means over here is that after they buried the dead, the people, the Avelim, they're filthy. They're dirty because they buried the dead. They've been dealing with the dead. So the filth and the odor of the dead has cleaved to the Avelim, and now they make a Su'uda. Okay, so you have an echanam. The word over here means the suruchim seems to mean. Well, the Mitzudos says suruchim means too much, oidef. It means it's like a tablecloth that overhangs, saruach, serach oidef, the additional material that overlaps, that expands past the boundaries. Nirzach simply means a party, the excessive parties. When you go into exile, you're going to put an end to this. To the parties that are over, beyond and above than what is acceptable. You'll be having these late night parties for no reason whatsoever, and now when you go into Golis, this will finally come to an end. Okay, the party that is Siruach, Siruchim, that is too much. The other commentators seem to say that the word Siruchim means disgusting.
Right.
Sirchaim. And Nirzach also means a party, means disgusting parties. It could either mean the same idea. These parties which were not for the purpose of Torah or mitzvahs are considered in the eyes of Hashem disgusting. Or, it, like you mentioned, that it, from the Malbim, that it refers to the dead. That after they buried the dead, so then they would eat. And the people that would eat, were, I guess, were miserable, or they did not. They were filthy from the entire experience of burying the dead, or from caring for the dead. And therefore it was called the Nirzach, the meal of the Seruchim, the people that were involved with burying the dead. Okay, now we're in the middle of the Rashis. We're up to page 334. We're in the middle of Pasuk in the Rashis. Pasuk HaPartim Al Pi HaNaval. We learned so far the parish of the Mitzvah, the stuff that it means refers to songs that are unique. A song that's one of a kind. A solo, you know, not the run of the mill. You have to pay good money to purchase the rights to sing this song. And these people that were living a life of luxury would pride themselves in having rights to sing these unique songs. Rashi says, Pasuk Hey, page 334, HaPartim Al Pi HaNaval, Menachem Chibroi, Menachem connects this word with Im Utheret Karmecha, which means the single grapes. There's a halacha of the oilalois and the peret, which means that when you go and you harvest the vineyard, if clusters fall on the floor, you're not allowed to retrieve. It's like leket, shikha, and peah. So there's leket, shikha, and peah, is the terms that are used in reference to grain. And then there are specific terms that are used in reference to the vineyard, to the vines, to clusters of grapes and single grapes. If you're harvesting your vineyard and a single grape falls on the floor, you are not allowed to pick it up. You have to leave it on the floor, allow the poor person to come in and pick up those single grapes. Then there's oilalois. Oilalois means clusters that have not yet been developed. They're premature. You're mechuyev to let them remain on the vine and let the poor people take it away. Okay, there are different terms. I don't remember all the terms, but the word peret is the term that is used in reference to the single grapes that fall on the floor at the time of harvest. And these single grapes, they add up to quite a bit. Okay, when you're harvesting clusters of grapes, it's inevitable that a lot of single grapes fall off from the cluster. They fall on the floor, and you have a mitzvah, the oraisa, not to touch those little grapes. And when you finish the harvest, let the poor people come and collect them all. And for them, it's going to be a small fortune, the single grapes. So just like there, the word peret means a single grape, here as well, it means something that's singular. Now, what is singular about the word, the songs? So he explains, V'roya ani es devarav. Rashi says, I like it. I like what he says. Al shame, if Rashi gives you a compliment, wow. That's heavy-duty stuff. I remember I had a Rebbe, he told us that he got a compliment from the Chazon Ish. My Rebbe is no longer Vleizer Kahana. He wrote a number of Sarim on some very esoteric inyanim in the Torah. And a lot of that, I think the topics were about Shvius, Orla, Shvius, different sugyos relating to the Kedusha Saretz. And when he was very young, when he put out a sefer, he was in Eretz Yisrael, he showed the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish wrote him a letter or gave him high praise. So he said, even I remember his son said this at his Levaya. His entire life, he lived off that compliment. That compliment meant so much to him. Any cover you gave him was nothing. Once he got the ultimate compliment from the Chazon Ish, that he appreciated his work, what he wrote, what could you possibly say to him that can make him feel good? I already got the ultimate. I already got the ultimate. It meant so much to him. So if Rashi gives you a compliment, you can imagine it's even greater than getting a compliment from the Chazon Ish. Rashi says that Menachem Chibayim Uferu V'Karbecha V'Roya Anias Devarav. I like it. I was traveling to Hespes. I was listening to some tapes in the car. Of Stephen Przanski. He said an incredible vod. I'll tell you that now. I'll tell you another time. I'll tell you what he said. I really like what he said. A beautiful vart. And he said that he said this over in shul. Actually, he said over two verlach. First vart, all right. The second vart is out of the ballpark home run. And who is in shul at Shabbos? The chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, the previous Rabbi Lau, the senior Rabbi Lau was in shul, and this is shul for Shabbos, and he said over the vart. So he comes over to me after davening and says to him, "The first vart you said, you know, he tried to show the lechoritz. I think he said that he once asked the Rav Chaim Kinyevsky Shlita. I think Rav Lau said to him, that thing that you discussed, I asked Rav Chaim Kinyevsky exactly this question, and the answer he gave basically is the opposite of what you said. But the second vart you said, I like it. I really like it. So he says, so you see from the way he was speaking, like he had such hanah that Rabbi Lau, okay, who he looks up to, he told him that the other vart, the second vart, was powerful. So here, Rashi is giving a very nice compliment to Menachem. I like it. V'roye ani es tevarav. Al shem, so what does it mean here in this context? Al shem sha'am esharer al pi kli zemer mechatech es hadibur bif rote. Now what does that mean? It means he's taking an entirely different interpretation than the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David also told us that the shorish of the word is parat, which means something very singular. Klal uprat. And he said it means that the song is one of a kind. It's not the run of the mill. It's not your average song. This is, you know, from Ben David. My Rebbe used to call him Ben David. All the boys, they go to this concert. Ben David, where are you going to Ben David? Ben David? Who's Ben David? Ah, Mordechai Ben David. That's what he meant to say. So this is a unique song. That's not what he says, Rashi. Rashi says, b'chateich es hadibur bif rot. What does that mean? You express your words with precision.
You articulate.
Articulate with, I think it means precision. Well, how do they have a tree? You have the Judaica Press translation of Rashi.
It doesn't make sense to me, separates the speech individually.
Okay, it sounds like Hitachapeh. You say each letter. Each letter is pronounced the way it was meant to be pronounced. You go to a list of Kriya Satayra. Ain't doime hearing a person who lanes every letter. Fast, of course. No, don't torture you by letting you too slow. But when they articulate, when they get the words out of their mouth, you hear every single letter. And then there are people that slur. They say the word, they slur one letter, one word leads into the next. The beauty of Dibur is to be specific. Precision. Every letter has its day in the sun. And that's what it means over here. When you sing all as well, if you're able to reach those notes, each melody has, you hear it. You get it out. Hakol lefi ni'imas kol hakli, all depending upon the musical instrument, lehagbia ule han mich, to raise and to go low, to okay, a high note and a low note. Rashi obviously was very musical. If Rashi over here is using this terminology, Rashi obviously had a very what? I don't know. I don't know. Was he? I never heard that. Not all levim have good voices. The Levim, some of them are gatekeepers and some are singers. The Briskers, the Soloveitchiks, they're all Levim, but they're not singers. not in the slide, not in. So they used to joke. We were from the Shoyarim, not the Meshoyarim. Okay, Levim had two jobs. Some of them were singers, musicians, singers, and some of them, they stood guard by the door. They stand guard by the door. Why were they two different jobs? Because not everyone knows how to sing. What? Could be. That's right. That's true. But usually, I mean, sometimes you find that people that don't have a good voice are not. I don't know. They're not. Do they go together? Do you generally find that the two go together? People that are very good, they're very good musicians. Are they also vocalists?
No.
Not really. Not necessarily.
No.
But it could be they do have more of an appreciation. I think to a degree that the people who are musical with instruments definitely have more of a sensitivity.
They can't sing it, but they know about it.
What?
Musicians could have been from Israel.
No, the musicians are supposed to be from the musicians of the Levim. You're saying something very good. There's a bit. There's a machlokes in the Gemara. What does it mean? What does it mean to be a meshoyrin? Does it mean voice, or does it mean to to play the musical instrument. What was the ikar? So it's machlokes. Some say the ikar is to sing, and like you said, playing the instrument, that's not important.
It could have been the rest of it.
I'm not so sure. I don't know the answer. And some say no, the other way around. The ikar was the musical instrument, and the singing was not as important. Obviously, both together, you know, we have obviously they did both together. They sang and they played musical instruments. They are different people. Okay, but generally it goes together. Then there's another whole class of Levim who what they did was they stood guard by the gates outside. They stood guard. So here we talk over here. Rashi over here is very into the language. Rashi has some very beautiful expressions. V'chateches adiba bifrot rot. It's a very interesting expression. What this word means? Prat. He's telling us the word bifrot rot comes from the word perat, and that means each tenua, each nuance. Every letter, every part of the melody has to be done properly. No cutting corners. Some notes have to be, some notes have to be on a high note, some are low notes. All the different terminology, it's a whole dictionary.
You have a conductor.
Yeah, the conductor is correct. You have Lamatseach Mizmor LeDavid for the conductor. Yeah, they have a conductor. And, you know, there's a whole vocabulary. You take a course in music. It's like you have to learn a whole new dictionary. People who are not familiar with this whole world, you got to learn the language. Learn the language of music. And Rashi seems to be pretty fluent in these inyanim. He next, Kedavid Chashu Lachem. These people think they're just as great as David. Chashu Klei Shir Shalohem, Ki Klei Shir Shel David. Now here Rashi is more midrashic. Rashi here is not coming. Rashi, if you learn the words very simply, they think, oh, they're composers. They know how to play melodies. They know how to compose and to sing and to play. And if David HaMelech was here today, and there would be a contest, who has a better voice, they would win. Who can play better? Who knows how to play the violin better, the harp better? David or Joe Schmo? Joe Schmo will win the competition. That's what you would think it means simply, but that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says they think they're holy people. They think that they when they sing, they're singing L'Shem Shemayim, without a Musaf on Shabbos, and they're singing, it's all L'Shem Shemayim. And the Navi says, phony baloney, when you sing Musaf and you sing the Kedusha and all the songs, it's all for your own pleasure. It's not L'Shem Shemayim, you're doing it for your own pleasure lehis aneg. Don't compare yourself to David. How dare you? Shehem they think kechle shishol David shehem lashamayim ve'elu lehis aneg. David's songs were composed l'shem shamayim. Their songs are composed for their own enjoyment. Chazal say in Pirkei Avos, kol as kol kinesia shehi l'shem shamayim soifay lehiskayim. Any assembly that is done l'shem shemayim, it's guaranteed it's going to endure. So this principle is not just in regard to a gathering together. You come to daven, you come to make a shul, yeshiva. It really refers to anything you do in this world. It's very interesting that you have to make melodies that just don't go away. There are certain melodies that we have been singing from time immemorial, and they just don't want to go. They don't leave us. And then there are some beautiful melodies. They become very, very popular for a period of time. They're playing at all the weddings. Everyone is singing it. And then, poof, gone. And then you wake up 20 years later, and they're playing these old melodies. Wow, I remember that from 20 years ago. How come we don't sing that anymore? Who knows? No one knows the answer, but you can't ignore the fact that there is something here. Chazal say, when you do something purely l'shem shemayim, it has a special koyach. You have to have this emunah. It has a special koyach that it doesn't go away. Soifay l'hiskayim. You wonder that some of the things that have been around that we have today, all different in yanim, all different, whether it's in music, whether it's in, I don't know, everything. And it doesn't go away. Perhaps the people who have invented, who have brought these things to us, have done it with such yirah shemayim, with such purity of intent, that that's why it's still around. Even though it's not necessarily the best. You always find, you know, have certain, like, you ever go to a shul where they are siddurim, why is this siddur still in the shul? This siddur, you know, the shuls, they change the siddurim every two, three years. It gets already, you know, worn out. Someone wants to donate new siddurim, so they change it. And then you always find in the shul, it's an old siddur. This old siddur, it's always on the shelf. It's been here for 50 years. Just can't get rid of it. Every time the gaboyim, they go and they take out this siddur, somehow it's just not there. It's not there on the table to take away. Well, how come this siddur was zoicha to be the last man standing? What happened? Who knows? Who knows the purity of intent that went into the donation of that siddur? Who knows? We don't know how these things work. But you have to have a emunah to some degree. Chazal say, kol kinesia shilashem shamayim soifay lehiskayim. If you do something l'shem shamayim, Hashem's on your team. He's on your team. That ain't going away so fast. Let's go first. So here he's thinking. Here he's thinking something. This idea that hey, you talk about melodies. Melodies, certain melodies. You know, there's like you sing Shalom Aleichem. Okay, the classic, not the new one from that became a classic from Regesh, from Rabbi Brazil. But the classic. How long has it been around? 100 years? Doesn't go away. The classic Shalom Aleichem. Okay, the Eish Eschayel, who's Eish Eschayel? I'm not familiar with all these nigunim. If you want to learn about a cult of music, you know where you go? Mishpacha magazine. In the back of Mishpacha magazine, every week, there's a whole column. And more than what it says there, I always like bewildered. There are people that live on this. It's a cult of people that are so attached to popular music of today. This singer, that singer, like, these are like celebrities. Who the singers are. When I was younger, people, they would say, what's your name? I say, Levine. Levine, oh, are you related to the holy tzaddik of Ari Levine of Eretz Yisrael? The holy tzaddik of Mamash melt. Then I would say, sorry, I'm not. Today, when I see someone, your name is Levine, they say to me, oh, are you related to Baruch Levine, the singer? Now, Baruch Levine, I love Baruch Levine. In fact, he's one of my favorites. Okay, Baruch Levine, he's a great guy. He's very sweet. I love him. But he's not Ari Levine. Sorry to tell you. Okay, so, Niskanu Hadoyrois, who we look up to today?
Probably the first to admit it.
Okay, no, he's a really great guy. He did land, I think the Siba Shah 6 years ago. By far, the most beautiful thing that they did at the Siyam HaShas was when he sang that melody for children. They had this thing, they gave awards to children, they should learn Mishnayis, the whole ceremony. And MetLife Stadium, 90,000 people, and they called up all the children, there's a whole parade of children going to the dais, and he was singing. And as they were doing it, wow. That was like, for me at least, that was the way he sang it. The way he sang it, it was just off the charts. You can probably see it on YouTube. I'm sure it's on YouTube. What? He's a Rebbe. He's a Rebbe in Waterbury. He's a Rebbe. He's unbelievable, okay? Fantastic, fantastic. Okay, let's go further. Let's move ahead. So Rashi, now we go to Pasuk Vav. The people who drink mitzvah yayin yesh, and we're saying she'omrim b'masechus Shabbos ha'yizorkim kososem zelazeh. Okay, this is something we come across. It was a toast. Okay, I think what the goyim do today is a takeoff of what Chazal tells they did in ancient times. It says here she'yizorkim kososehen zelazeh. They would throw their cups one to another. Now think about a toast. I want to propose a toast. And everyone bangs their cups, right? Ding. Everyone bangs. Where does that come from? It comes from us. Okay, what? But I don't. It does not appear that was the original minhag. The original minhag was either they would actually throw the liquid. They would throw the liquid out of your cup and you would catch it. Some type of real magic trick. Okay, don't get wet. Don't try this at home. Or it means they actually threw the cup. Okay, here, I have a cup of hot coffee here. You ready? Whoop. And I throw you the cup, and you catch it. And then he threw it back, and we at the same time. I throw you my cup, and you throw me your cup, and we both catch it, and that one drop of liquid falls on the floor. Okay, I don't think people were too familiar with doing this today.
Yes.
They break the cup. They smash the cup.
In the
fireplace? They throw it into the fireplace.
But I think that the case comes from the, when the Kabbalists, when they did the doing, they were breaking the cable.
They only broke the kli because it was treif. Because it's nicer. In the Tava Chazal, if you have an earthenware utensil, there's no way to catch an earthenware utensil. So after, if you use an earthenware utensil, kachim, for meat, so it absorbs the flavor of the meat, and after a day or two, it becomes nicer. There's a flavor of nicer absorbed into the walls of the utensil. There's no way you can kasher cheres, china. So they broke it, they shattered it. They shattered it. So, but I don't think it's, they didn't shatter it because they shatter it. Okay, but in any event, this is what they did in ancient times. And obviously, this what they did in the ancient times became somehow minhag today amongst goyim. I don't think it's the Yiddish minhag. The Jews do it all the time. But to propose a toast and to bang your cup one to the other and ding and have, you know, I don't know if it's Jewish. It doesn't seem like it's Jewish minhag. Does people do? People do. They do. Yeah, you do whatever you want to do. Who's going to stop you? Do whatever you want to do. But does this have a Jewish source? Well, yes. It says here that Shayuzorkin Koisai Sein Zelazeb. But the way they did it in ancient times obviously was not the same. It was not the same. But you cannot deny the fact that there is some similarity between what we do today and what was done then. There's some obviousness where it comes from. The Yesh Befarshim. So therefore, he Rashi learns the whole Nupshat. When it says here Hashosim b'Mizruke Yayin, it means they drink this. Refers to this ancient custom of they would throw their cups one to another in a form of happiness, but not for a happy event, not for Torah. They did this out of narishkeit. They made parties for no reason, no good reason, and instead they should be learning or doing mitzvahs, not wasting their time with this narishkeit for no good reason. A certain type of utensil, which are two tips, two mouths. V'hu aruch, it's very long, two spouts. V'hu aruch, it's very long. V'shoyis zemikan, zemikan, and one would drink on one side. Like you think of two straws, right? Like yeah,
maybe it was like one, it tips towards him, and then
could be. But today they have like is this very romantic?
You see
those pictures. You have a cup. And you have two straws, and the boy is drinking on one side, and the girl's on the other side. You know what I'm talking about, right? So where does that come from? It comes from this. Okay, it comes from this. Everything's in Nach. For Aruch, it's a very tall, long cup, and there are two spouts. We have two straws. For Aruch, v'shoyis zemikan, v'hayayin nizrak mipiv el piv. So it means that the wine, it's thrown because it's connected.
On one, it tips towards that one, then it sloshes towards one side, and then when it's the other one's turn, it moves over to the other side.
I have a feeling that Rabbi Deutsch in his museum, in the Jewish museum, has a sample to show, and when you see it, then everything makes sense. There's no doubt he must have this in his artifacts there. This is right up his alley. To show you what is the meaning of Yayin Nizrak Mipiv El Piv, and we're reading these words saying, what does this mean over here? When you see it, then you have an ah moment. Now I understand what we're talking about, okay? And that's Hashoysim bin Mizrake. So all of these perushim, they all come in to pick up on the word Mizrake. What is this unusual word? The Mitsudos also told us that the word Mizrake is an unusual word, but he told us, what does it mean? He told us the means. It means a utensil, a metal utensil. Okay, they had in the base Hamigdash Mizrakim. Rashi doesn't go there. Rashi's not going to the base Hamigdash. Rashi's telling us what the Mishnah learns from the Zorak, Zrika, to throw. to throw. What does the word throw have to do with a utensil, a kais? So he tells us a toast, and he gives us two examples, things that we're really not too familiar with in our day and age. Also, it doesn't make that connection.
That's a bowl.
A bowl. That's the mitzvah stavis interpretation. Did they throw the bowls around in the Beis HaMikdash? I don't think so. I'm not familiar with. So you want to say, interesting, you want to say the reason why called because since they threw the blood from the utensil onto, okay, I didn't think of that. They do zrika with the blood. Where does the blood come from? From the bowl. Okay, you throw from the bowl. Okay, I didn't realize that. So it's also Losh Zriga.
Gemara has his pshat. They're quoting a pasuk.
Hashoy said the Nitzchay Yain. Rabbi, we're going to learn this. We're learn this in the Likute. We're going to learn Mamash's Gemara.
The Gemara is bringing out Gemara.
Yeah, he's going to quote this Gemara. Okay, when it comes over here, what exactly kind of utensils are? So it's very good over here. It's exactly what Rashi really told us. We're going to learn the Gemara soon. Okay, let's go a little bit further. He quotes exactly this Gemara.
There's two interpretations of
Pasuk. Right, so that exactly what we just learned. What we learned in Rashi.
Yeah.
Rabbi Ami Rabasi, Chadab 1 says, Kinishkonin. What is the Chadab 1 says, Shemizrakin Bikoisosin Zeloze. The first interpretation of the Gemara, Kinishkonin, is, like we just learned, a tall glass vessel with two spouts. Rashi here on the Gemara. Two people could drink out of it simultaneously. And then the second interpretation was they would throw their kosos in zelozeh. This was a skillful trick in which two people would juggle cups of wine between themselves. Okay, so both refer to the word zrika. Exactly what we did. Rashi is quoting the Gemara. Thank you very much. I think we're going to see this soon in the Bible.
This is Gemara.
But this is in Shabbos. Samach Beis Amidays. Hashoysim b'mizri k'yayim v'loshem zrika. And Michal is saying very good that the Beis HaMikdash, they had the Mizrakim, they collected blood. Because why was it called the Mizrak? Because from that utensil, they would throw the blood on the Mizbeach. There are many different techniques how you apply the blood to the Mizbeach. Most of the Kabbalists, you actually don't touch the blood. You never get dirty. You don't touch the blood. You hold the utensil like this, and you force like this, and the blood is thrown onto the Mizbeach. The Karban Chatos, you don't throw. You go to the top, and you dip your finger very carefully, no throwing, and you put it very delicately on the corner of the Mizbeach. Kimatzleif, that's been going up and down. That just refers to, you start from the top, and you work your way down. There, you would do... No, there you use your finger, and that's not called zrika. That's called matana, application. Zrika, if I'm not mistaken, only means when you hold the cup with two hands and you go like this, and you throw it.
If you throw it like a whip.
No, that kimatzleif. The that word refers to the order. The first drop is high, the second a little bit lower, the next a little bit lower, just like when they whip a person, they work down his back. They first whip him on the top, and they work down the body. No. The word kimatzleif, the Gemara there explains to mean from high to low. But he said very good, it's a matana. A matana means an application. It's not called throwing. You dip your finger in, and you go like that. Yeah. That's not called throwing.
Arba matonis.
Okay, that's when you dip your finger in.
The chadas,
you dip your finger in, and you put it on the corner.
Right.
Then there's a time when you go like zrika. Then there's something called shficha. What's shficha? Karban Pesach. A Karban Pesach and Bechor have shficha. You get the mekabel the dam, and you take the blood, and you pour it very gently. Very gently down the drain. Okay, there's a hole on the bottom of the Mizbeach, and you do shlicha, you pour it. You don't throw it like this. You don't take your finger and apply it. You go like this. And then there is, okay, you have to find the word, sometimes, like by the Kodesh, by the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Poroiches, you go like this. You flick it. That's a different word. Okay, then I think there's another type of application. I don't remember. There are all different types. Each application is unique. Each application has a unique meaning, a unique connotation. But here we have the word zrika, mizrike, so we know what it means by kachin, and now we have an interpretation, two interpretations, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, what it means with regard to the simcha, they would apply it in different ways. Vayit and Rashi, Rashi over here says, the best. There are many different types of fragrant oils. They only would allow themselves to have the best. Which is the best? For who? A farsimon, some type of oil. What do you call a farsimon? Balsam oil? Okay, some type of special high quality oil. V'loy nechlu. Here is a criticism of the Malchus of Yehuda. They did not get sick. They did not feel the pain of their brothers when they were sent into exile. Al shever Yosef shesham mipi hanavim she'osid lovo alehem. He's not learning like the Mitzudos. He's learning very simply. It did not bother them that the Nevi'im said that they themselves would go into exile. When the Navi says to you, you will go into exile in a couple of years, or your children, whatever it's going, because of your averos, big deal, who cares? I don't believe you. Doesn't bother me. I don't believe what you're telling me is true. They did not take it to heart when they were told about their own destruction. Again, it's not like the Mitzudos David, who had taught us that they did not feel the pain of their brother. Yosef is a code word for the Malchus of Yisrael, which is called Al Shem Ephraim, whose father is Yosef. So we have two very different interpretations. Okay, the next Rashi, Pasuk Zayin, page 336. And when you do go into Golus, finally you'll cut out all of the nonsense. What's the nonsense? V'sar Mizrach Siruchim. It's called in the Targum, V'badlun Mishtaois Ha-Migudolim V'gasei Haruach. The parties of the arrogant and the haughty. So he's giving us now a new translation for the word siruchim. Siruchim means extra, too much. But in contrast to the Mitzudos, who learns that it means the parties themselves were excessive. If you want to make a party, okay, $18 a person. What kind of nonsense? $300 a person. What kind of crazy, you're wasting money on crazy things. What's going on over here? Too much. Too much. That's not the way Rashi learns. Siruchim means your ego is too much. Your ego is inflated. Okay, the word siruch means too much, but what is the subject of being too much? V'balun mishtos, everyone agrees the word mirzach refers to a party. The mishtos, ha-mi gudolim. So first he says, it seems the first interpretation of siruchim, he does seem to say that's too much. The subject indeed means too much. V'gasei haruach, the arrogant. They are too much. And now he defines the words in more detail. The word mar zechois l'shoin mishtois. This means a party. B'sifrei, where do we find this word? We find this in the sifrei. You notice here we have nekudos now. If we didn't have nekudos, we would say the sifrei. The sifrei is not, there's no thing as the sifrei is a collection of midrashim on chumash b'midbar and chumash divarim. Two chumashim, two sifarim. The plural of sifri is sifrei. If you would say sifri, that would refer to one book, but when you pronounce it sifrei with its tsere, it means two books. And that's incorrect, because it is a collection of midrashim on Bamidbar and Devarim. The midrashim on Chumash Bereishis and Shemos is called Medrash Rabbah. The midrashim on, no?
No, no. Sifrei is a smichuda.
No, no, Sifrei is plural. Sifrei, books. Sifrei. No, but it's an Aramaic word. It's an Aramaic word. Sifrei, not Sifrei. Yeah, what you were saying here?
Medrash Rabbah covers Chamisha, Chumshei Torah, and the Megillah.
Okay, so what is the, is there a unique term for Bereishis and Shemos?
Not Bereishis. The Hilta is for
Shemos. And Bereishis?
No.
Okay. So Mechilta for Shemais, Toiras Koyhanim is Vayikra, and Sifrei is Bamidbar Devarim. So here they are dots. Bisifrei. See, if we had dots in our old editions, we would never come to make this. This is a very common mispronunciation to call the Sifrei. It says in the Sifri, everyone says Sifri. It's a very common mispronunciation is Sifrei. I was talking to a mechanech on Shabbos from Baltimore, so it's very, very involved in chinuch. And we're talking about, you know, should they give them Rashi with Nekudos or without Nekudos? Art Scroll printed, before they printed this edition, they printed these gorgeous, stunning chumashim, which is basically the same as blue, with just chumash, Rashi, the Balaturim, and Unkelus. Basically, in five separate volumes. None of them are Koros Gedolos. And it's, the letters are crystal clear, big Rashi. And in the back, they have every chart you ever in your life could imagine. And they give you for free all of their exotic, expensive picture books. They put the whole thing there in the back. It's really beautiful work. The only thing that bothered me very much, I mean, it didn't bother me at the time because I didn't know any better, was that Rashi does not have Nekudos. Okay, fine. I didn't know the difference. And the Haftarah, they have all the Mefarshim from the Haftarah. It's very, very nice. Okay, very nice. I think only one volume because I liked it so much. And then they came out with the Negros Gedolos, which, as you all know, like what we're learning of Yom Chumash, has every single little dot. So I was talking to someone who's very involved in chinuch, very influential chinuch in Baltimore, and I don't know how I got in this conversation about the dots, this, that. So he mentioned the Chumash. I said, yeah, I have one volume. I said, you know, now for me, I don't want to even open it because I like, I'm a spoiled guy. I like to have the dots. So he says, no, Art Scroll makes it with the dots. I said, no, they don't. They make that edition without the dots. So they make both. They make an edition without the dots, and they make an edition exactly the same thing with that. So who is it geared for? For children. And there's this raging debate among mechanchim is how far to go should you go to spoil children. To spoil children to in learning Rashi, to not give them the dots in the Rashi. He told me there's a raging debate. And so he's very big favor of the dots. He's very, very much. He's fighting a war because he's involved in making these decisions and for certain schools. And he's a big, big fan of the Nekudos. And he told me that he went to all the Gedolim. He went to Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky. He basically said to me that today they're coming around. It was always the attitude, no, don't make it so easy for them. Don't make it so easy. When you teach them, let them learn, let them struggle a little bit. He says, but he told me today the tide is changing. He says today the attitude is more that they should have the dots. Art School made both editions. It's very interesting. They made two editions. I never saw the other edition. Earlier we're talking about Sifri versus Sifrei. Sifrei. Two books. Bamidbar Devarim. You probably taught this to me. Sifrei. B'loshon Rabim. Because it's the Medrash on two books. The book of Bamidbar and the book of Devarim. Sifrei. We were just talking because Sifrei is one book. One book. But that's not what it is. The Sifrei is a work of Midrashim, a collection of Midrashim on two books. So there's only one possible way to express, to pronounce it. Sifrei. Unfortunately, it's a very common mispronunciation because people do not know that. And I was talking about we have the dots. So here they do it correctly, bisifrei. And had we had the dots 50 years ago, this mistake probably would never have entered into our vocabulary. So you see the value of having dots.
How can I understand the word better, really? I mean, it's
all like, of course. Learning the course, right? Yeah, you know, it's a certain. Okay, listen, whatever, it is what it is. Let's not go. Let's go further. Let's go further.
I've seen the fancier editions in English. Because I always mispronounced it. That they have the E with an accent. So, you know, like in the French. So to make it Sifrei.
Sifrei, okay. Let's go further. The Parashas Vayesha Vishal Bashitim Motsasi. Okay, so over here it says there, he quotes over here a Sifrei, where in this Sifrei the word Nirzach, it's an unusual word, which he says means a party. It's used there in the context of a lavish party. Further, Chozhu Lasois Lohem Mar Zeichim, he's quoting there what it says in the Sifrei, what happened in Shittim, the people began to worship idols, they began to do things which were not proper, and part of their misbehavior was they began to make parties in honor of the gods. Chazru lasos lohem mar zeichin, v'hoyu koyrois lohem v'oichlin, and they would call out lohem to their gods, it seems. They would call out at these parties. They would call out. They would daven. Okay, in the middle of the party, they would say time to daven mincha, but they were not davening mincha. What?
Invite.
They would invite. Who would they invite? Guests. Okay, maybe it means coming. They would invite guests. All right.
Who's making the party?
I thought the kairos means they would call out to their gods. You're saying it means to invite people to come to the parties? Maybe it's subject to interpretation. You have to see what it says in the interpretation. Okay, you have to see what it says over there. Okay, it could be different interpretations what it means. Anyway, whatever it means over here, but in the context of this statement in the Sifrei, it's clear as day the word, the way it's used there is they ate, the oichlim. So there's nothing to discuss. The word mar zeichim in that context means they made a party. So here in our pasuk, when it's over here, they went mirzach siruchim, it means they made a party. And the word siruchim either means it's excessive, or it means it was parties for arrogant people, a thing, or discussed, the different perish that we discussed. Different perish that we discussed. Okay, next. That's it. That's all we learned. Okay, it's pretty late already. Let's just do a little bit of the Radak. Just to start the Radak, just to drop, because I feel we're a little too slow. Okay, page 333. Page 333 is Hashachvim. Pasuk Dalet. Hashachvim, mis angim bimachol al so describing we're being critical of the Jewish people that they are engaging in a life of luxury, excessive luxury, which includes they would eat, they would drink, they would anoint themselves with oil, they would lie down on matzoitznaos, these beautiful spreads, uvishmoya kli shir, and they would all do this when they're listening to musical instruments, a concert, kli klei shir, vinigunim, omar. The pasuk of here, they come and they criticize and they enjoy themselves with all these forms of luxury. They don't think about what is coming in the future. They did not have any pain. They did not feel the pain regarding this, that they will go into exile. They are going into exile as a consequence for their behavior. Usruchim al arsoisam min viserach ha'oideth. The addition, the excess. What is the subject of the excess here in this pasuk? Shenoisnim al arsoisam bigodim aruchim uruchavim. The subject of serach here is that the garments are very long. Like a tablecloth, it overhangs. It overhangs along the side of the table, it's longer than what they need. That's all part of tainug. To have long tablecloths which are draped all the way down to the floor. That's one interpretation. And then we had this Rashi quoted this. This we learned with Rashi on Friday. The word tsruch does not mean extra. It means disgusting. What it's disgusting? They were nichshol in gilui arayos. They dirty, they soil their bed with shichva zerash ein shlohem. Inyan tzirchayim, disgusting. Amu shahayu machalifin nishoy sehen zeloze, exchange wives. Umasrichim mito sehen b'shichva zerash ein shlohem. And they soil their beds. And I told you this can interpret according to Rashi, can refer to Mishkav Zohar. Number one, they were nichshol in arayos with noshim. But what does it mean over here? What does it mean over here? Shechva zera. A woman does not have external shechva zera. It could mean that they were engaged in shechva in mishkav zohar, which would then mean they were shechva zera she'ena shalohem on their mitos. The yoina santir game ve'emak yovon al ar sehoin, which means what? Crookedness. I don't know what this means. I don't look it up. I'm guilty of not preparing the targum. What is in the Emak Yavon? I have to do true and learn the Targum better. The Emak Yavon al Ar Sehon. Okay, maybe we'll leave it tomorrow. I'll try to look up. I have to do the Targum much better. Let's see what we're up to. Let's just finish up this pasuk. Okay, we'll put the pasuk, then we'll stop.
It says crooked on their bed.
So what does it mean? What do you mean crooked? They behave in a crooked way, in a crooked, like Rashi Lechaira. Lechaira means like Rashi. They were nichshol in arayos. Okay, they acted in a crooked way. he's fataiching that Gili Arayus is a crookedness, is an act of being crooked. Elokim oso es ha'adam yoshor. Hashem made man straight. Vehein bikshu chishbonos rabim. Hashem made man yoshar straight. When you don't behave in a straight way, it's crooked. Crooked. So the Targum we were saying is they behaved in a crooked way. Ve'emak yovon al arsehoin. They did not act in yashrus. They acted in a way of crookedness. Next words of the Radak, next page 335, Echlin Arkar Mitzayim, Perush Kivasim, Shemeinim, fattened sheep, the Choser HaToyar, and the Toyar, the title is missing. In other words, it should say Karim Mehatsoin. It should say not Mitzayim, the Toyar would be with the Hey Haidia, Mehatsoin, Minatsoin. Okay, so it's a shortened form of the expression. The Karim come from the category of animals called Tzoyin. It's self-understood. We need not add all of these extra letters. It means Milu Bashim Bigodim. It's a self-understood that when it says there in that pasuk Katsemer Yihyu, it means clothing that is white. Does not say the word white, does not say your clothing, but it's self-understood. The Godim Chamudos, Big the Malchus, the Yesh, the Edroid, the other examples, Yesh, Edroid, Zohar, Zohar, Tamim, Yenis, and Tirgim, Yochlin, Patimin, Me, Ono. They eat fattened animals, Me, Ono. What's Me, Ono mean? I do not know. Nitoch Marbek, Mokam, Shmachlitz, Msham, Hagolim, Lefatma, Lish, Eagle Marbek. Into a pen, and it threshes. So the word marbeik just means an enclosure. The basic gist is it's an enclosure where you do something with your animal. Sometimes you have the animal thresh the grain, and sometimes the enclosure is for the purpose of fattening the animal for the slaughter. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll pick up. What? Yeah. How much? How much the cost? How much the cost? The article says this. 30? No, it's a really good present. In that range, it's a little bit more. Unless you get it on sale. The new art scroll, Hebrew only. Hamisha Musha. They have one here. Let's make a fine one for you. Very good.
Because David's left. He got David's last fire. Jewish coaches. He interviewed Aaron Cutler, the grandson.
The CEO.
Yeah, and he said how Rabbi Aaron sang with Shlomo Kalmbach together, did the tape. That's what he said. They sang together. And he said that Shlomo Kalmbach, I think this is where I said, that he sang by Yeshiva brothers.
Yeah, that's Pasha. Wow.
By Yeshiva brothers?
He was a big, we don't appreciate who he was. He was a very big celebrity.
This is his grandson. Aaron Cutler now, his grandson. He was telling stories about. He was very open, all different stories. He was very, very open about
the new dog. It's a new dog today.
He was completely. I couldn't believe it that way he was doing it.
Yeah, Shlomo Kalmbach, when he came out his first album, he said that he's a Talmud of Chaim Berlin. By the second album, that was taken out of it.
Yeah. He said, who bought him his first guitar? With Aaron Schachter.
Yeah?
Everyone says that. He bought him a gift. His first guitar. He bought him a guitar. All the guitars, you know, they played.
And his cousin?
The Slichus, his protege, what's his name? Green? Where does that guitar come from?
Hugh
DeGreen. Where's that guitar? All comes from Aaron Schachter. I always say his mom's just like a reform to play a musical instrument. All comes from Aaron Schachter.
And his cousin, he got a pink slip.
The context in Hosea is Bnei Yisrael, but Golis is about
side deal. As soon as I die,
No, it's also not there. In the back, there's a very big diagram.
As soon as I die, yeah, everybody.
Everybody's invited to as soon as I die. No. Skolnick had a major operation a year ago.
Who had surgery?
Mrs. Skolnick. Mr. Skolnick. A year ago.
He saw the going for after. Almost only before. These came after. So don't do a very good
dialogue.
Okay.
Once is enough. I tell you
that's
for you.
Yeah, okay.
Do you have your box set?
Today's Tu B'Shvat.
Today's one B'Shvat. Tomorrow's Tu B'Shvat.
Tu B'Shvat, very good.
That's old one that
I remember talking last year.
Thomas from a heart attack in the kitchen.
Tu B'Shvat.
Why?
Is it day Tu B'Shvat?